So this morning is, I'm grateful we got through the first service because I had no idea how the service was going to go. I had all the, you ever make a, you know, on the grill, the hobo dinner? You ever do that? You know, you just throw everything in there and throw it on the grill, and when it comes out, it's like, oh, perfect. And so I had, there's all these elements that we're going to hit this morning, and we're gonna do it again here, second service. If some of us come up here and talk, and we appear to be emotional, and we are not actually tearing up, it's because we shed them all during the first service. So it's we're going to cover a lot of different things this morning, and I want you to be able to kind of get up to speed. So there is no message today, but you're going to hear a powerful message today in one form or another. But I do have to give a little mini one. So I've got a 60-second Father's Day little message. Okay, so we'll crank this out in under a minute if I can. Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. Then they scoffed. He's just the carpenter's son. And we know Mary, his mother, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And then John chapter 1. And I have seen, this is John the Baptist, I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the man, the myth, the legend, the guy walking in the water, raised from the dead, did all these miracles. He was known by his father, or his fathers, his earthly father, his heavenly father. Fathers, your children are known by you. You set an example of who it is to be here on earth or in heaven. What do they see from you? What does the world, as they see your children, go, is this your child? Do they see how you walk and you talk and how you speak? Do they see your integrity? Do they see your characters? Men, we have to realize it's not about just us as fathers, but those that identify to us. They bear our name, our last name. And so we need to raise the standard as fathers and let the world recognize, oh, you're the son of, and they therefore understand who this child is, because we all identify to our heavenly father. So fathers, take up that mantle and show how it is to be a son of the living God, but show how it is to be a man of your word, a man of character. There you go. 1 minute, I hope. All right, so we're going to do a lot of things this morning, cover a lot of things. It's all kind of about our youth. I had came into the office early this week, and I was continuing the message, and as I read through it, I was just like, this is the first time. I usually open it up, and bam, God just shows me what we're going to be talking about and reveals, and I had nothing. And I'm like, okay. And then we had some other plans kind of in the works, which you're going to hear about. And I'm like, okay, we need to do a recap because we want to talk about camp and a few other youth things and allow you guys to kind of see what's taking place. If you're unaware, about 2 weeks ago, we sent our youth, we sent about 30 from our church, about 20 or so. 20, 22 students went, and then we had 8 to 10 adults that went down to Fusion Bible Camp down in Waupaca, and we had a tremendous time. So we're going to do a little recap of that. If you would, go ahead and throw up the pictures. I grabbed some from our camp website, fusionbiblecamp.org. They're not really in a particular order. I just slapped them up there. But Fusion Bible Camp is for ages 9 to 18. We actually break ourselves up into two different camps. We call it Kids Camp, and that's 9 through 13. And we call it our youth camp, which goes through high school. And as you can see, we do lots of activities. And it was a hot week. But praise the Lord, we didn't have any heat-related issues. They stayed hydrated. We do some major activities. You see with paintball, there's John showing how it's done in a Zord ball or whatever we call that. We have they look forward to water sports today, watermelon football, because it was a very hot week. And some, we call it Pure Madness in youth ministry. They're able to sign up for paintball or some little heavier activities that we have going on. But we, as you can clearly see, we have a blast out there. Will doing his job on the side there, just watching. There's Jade. I think they played sandball or water volleyball. There we go. We added a new thing called archery tag this year. Big marshmallows at the end of a bow and arrow. I wore a shirt that said, shoot your friends, because that's what archery tag is. Lots of team-oriented things that we do throughout the week. That's Pastor Christopher showing how it's done, a tire tug. And, you know, Sam putting his all into this. Yeah, that was a new activity we had this year, which was phenomenal. That's called the blob. You see the guy flying. There's someone at the end of the blob. They go about 20, 30 feet in the air. It's all safe. And land in the water. There you go, Kate. Looks like you're dodging, as we were supposed to be dodging there. Some of our youth participated in something called peer ministry. And so a few of our students led worship. I was floored. My daughter ended up preaching at the end of it, which was phenomenal. I tend to always be on the microphone as I lead and direct. Our kids' camp had it. They presented some ministry to us. John's a counselor, and some students get a spirit award showing the fruits of the spirit. This is in kids' camp, and so they have a speakers called Go Ministry that do phenomenal ministry as well. We had staff, Grace's up there, and we have different staff in different portions. So Jason Wood and Cassie were part of our security team, keeping us safe, me talking. Yet again, wearing my I Poop Today shirt, which is, we have to make sure we do that at camp. Yes, I have to wear that shirt. this is a little bit of Go Ministries and the skits that they do and the bring the message and the worship. Again, kids in their kids' camp. Just hearing the word of God. Ministry time, this is what it's all about when we get to the altar in the evenings. And that's our speaker, Garth. He's like a twin brother to me, as you can tell. He was our youth camp speaker and just challenged us, shook us kind of to the core. But in the evening with worship, phenomenal worship that we have. Just getting challenged each evening. And ministry, like I said, which you're going to hear about in a little bit here. And so that's just a little glimpse of Fusion Bible Camp that we have. The camp where I gave my heart to the Lord at 8 years old when it used to be held in Chetek. And so it's near and dear to me, and it's been a blessing. We don't have a whole lot here from kids camp that, well, you too. Oh, well, you guys were here first service, so I'm going to ask again, would you like to share anything about camp? Yes. All right. You want to share from there or do you want to come up here? All right. This is Faye. This is her first year of camp. She got to come as an 8-year-old because she's special.
No, because of mommy and daddy.
Because mommy and daddy were there. Yep.
My favorite part of camp was going on the blob.
On the blob? You went on the blob?
Grace blobbed me.
Grace blobbed her. Wow. That's awesome. What else did you like about camp?
Swimming.
Swimming? Yes, because it was very, very hot, right? It's a very nice lake, isn't it?
Deep.
Very deep. Well, did you get the green band? Oh, you passed the swim test. Very nice. Cool. Well, I'm glad you went to camp as an 8-year-old this year. I asked Trey first service what his favorite part about camp was, and he said shooting the BB guns and Nerf wars. So we do have... We've got lots of activities for the campers to participate in. The group on the evenings is Go Ministries. They're out of Louisiana. They're an intern group. They actually now have an accredited college. But they come up. There's about 20 of them. And they do the worship. They do skits that some of our other campers said was some of their favorite parts is the skits that they do just to open up the Word of God. And Lily this morning shared, when she came back from camp, she told her parents that Friday was the best day of her life. And you're going to hear about that. That's the testimony that we have when it comes to the kids and their lives being changed. So then there's youth camp. And before I pick on a couple, just kind of open the mic if there's any youth that are here that wanted to share a little bit about what camp was or even some of our adults that went. If anyone wants to talk about camp. Sam, if you want to share again. So Sam shared in the first service. So we have this thing on Friday called Peer Ministry, and that's where the different youth groups, the youth themselves present things. And we had four of our students lead worship, which was incredible. And I loved being a music guy with my background. Sam and Kaylee were kind of leading, but both of them took times to share. And when they did, the other one would back them up with music. And there was just this unity in the team, and it flowed, and there was joy in the team. And the music that they presented just really opened up the hearts. And a gentleman came afterwards who was kind of on the skirts of a relationship with God, but after our youth-led worship, he came up and just laid out a powerful testimony of what God was doing in his life. And I had a pastor come up to me and said, "So who is this group?" And I said, it's some of our youth leading worship. And he said, "This worship team is better than my Sunday morning worship team. And they are just, our kids are gifted. But our kids are gifted, one, because God has put something in it. Two, we need to be examples and we need to be there for them to give them the opportunities. We need to sacrifice. But it's just a blessing to see them come alive in Christ. Whether it's here at church or it's at camp or different places like that." Any youth before I call on? Yeah, Grace. This is her first year as an adult at camp.
Camp this year was very different for me. As a leader, I've gone to camp probably 4 or 5 times, I think, as a youth. And then this was my first year as a leader, as Pastor Jason said. And it was just so cool to serve and to be with the kids and just see them reaching out. Like the last night, Pastor Garth had us. All the leaders go up, and he had the kids come up and minister to us, and that was really powerful. And after that service, I was just sitting in the back because I just wanted to just be there and just watch the kids, because you can just, after services, we worship a little bit, and then they usually release the kids, and then people stay if they want to stay and pray or worship more or whatever. And so, yeah, as I was sitting in the back there's this one kid that I had met a few days prior. He was like 15, and he was a very talkative guy and used his words very sharply towards people, I noticed. But every night at service, like, during the day, he would say, you know, sometimes unkind words to people, but at night at service, he would pray for people. Like, he prayed for me, prayed for a few of the leaders, the sports leaders that I was working with. And the prayers that he prayed for those leaders were so specific and so powerful, and it was crazy. And as I was sitting back there, I was seeing him up there worshiping and even dancing, and I was like, God, like, not in a judgmental way, but just like, wow, like, you use people who mess up, you know, and who aren't perfect, and like, he can use the same mouth to like hurt people, but the Lord used him to speak powerfully and build people up. And then the Lord was like, yeah, Grace, like, he's redeemed. And he started pointing out probably like 10 to 15 people, to kids and leaders, and he was like, you know, as people would walk by, he'd be like, that person, you know, she struggles with depression. And that person, like, he tried to take his life last week. And that person, like, he watches porn. And, like, just kept, like, struggled with this and that and that. And there was probably, like, I don't know, like, 15 people. And I was like, okay, like, you can stop now. Like, I don't know. I was crazy. And these were the people who, like, when I was younger in camp, like, if you stayed after service when they let you go, you were the holy ones because you stayed and prayed. You know, you were the cool people. And these were those people. These were those kids. And it was just, God was like, they're redeemed. And, like, I forgive them, all of them. And I don't know, it just gave me this glimpse of heaven, like, just allowed me to see their souls as who they were in Christ. And that they weren't their sins and the sins that, you know, they struggled with, like, God washed them away with Jesus' blood. And that was powerful. And as I went through the week, like, you know, there was only, I think, a day left. It was just crazy because I would just see different glimpses, especially in the services. It's just like, wow, I can't wait for heaven when we get to see people as their souls, as who they really are in Christ. And just get to see their perfect beings, not the sin that they are, not the little casing that they have or the masks that they put on. And that was just really, really powerful just to see that. And so I just want to encourage you guys to see behind people and the things they struggle with, because they're all beautiful and chosen and perfect in Christ. So. Amen.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, God uses messed up people You know, that his the Bible is full of them. His kingdom's full of them. But we need to be obedient. We need to be led. And I wanna lead this next testimony kind of with that. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday night, the youth pastor or our speaker calls up the leaders first to prepare to minister, because we'll call up the leaders and then the kids. And I remember standing up and taking a step towards the altar, because I'm just thinking, well, I'm a pastor, former youth pastor, I'm qualified, I got the degree, I've done this before, I got kids up there, you know, I took that step to, okay, I need to go minister, and God said, stop it. And so I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And he's like, I've got other people that are going to do this. And up front, there were young adults and adults that had never ministered before, and yet they were being obedient. And was it perfect and eloquent? It doesn't matter. They were being obedient and stepping out and hearing God and saying, okay, I'm going to pray with this kid. I've never prayed with a kid before. And that's a picture of what the body of Christ should be. We all need to be obedient where God has called us to be, and we need to listen. And sometimes we hear things and we go, I don't get it, but we need to step out in God's obedience. And so God moves when we take those steps and we're obedient. So you're going to hear a kind of a two-part testimony this morning, again, of obedience and then God just opening the hearts of many people. So my daughter's going to share a little bit here this morning.
All right. So this was Thursday night, which every night was just so powerful, and like it just gradually got better and better. And throughout the week, Pastor Garth, the speaker, was encouraging everyone and pretty much pushing everyone, you know, out of their comfort zone to minister to people, like to reach out to people, to pray for them, even just hug someone if you feel like God is telling you to hug somebody. Just like just the little things, because ultimately that's what we're called to do as Christians, is to minister to people and get out of our comfort zones. And so I was really, really brought out of my comfort zone that week. But so they brought people, invited people to the altar. People were walking everywhere, just ministering to each other. And I was just standing there at my chair praying and worshiping. And I was just listening for a voice, like, God, tell me what to do. And I was standing there, and I wasn't really receiving anything. I'm like, just tell me. I'm here. You know, you can tell me. And I kind of just sat there. I'm like, I can't expect things out of God. Like, I shouldn't be expecting a voice, because I shouldn't put him in this little box of what he can do and what I can do, you know? And so then I gave up on that. I'm like, okay, I lay it all down, and I'm just going to be open. And so I was just worshiping, and I had this thought, not an image, not a word, just like this thought that I thought was me, but then I wasn't sure, but I just thought of Cassie Robinson. And I just got really emotional, and it was overwhelming, and I was crying. I was like, okay. And then I worshiped, and then I went back, and I thought about her again, and I was just overwhelmed with emotion. I was like, am I okay, you know? And I was like, okay, if this isn't from God, then I don't, you know. So I was like, okay, I need to go find Cassie. And so Cassie was at camp, and she was doing security work. And usually she was out at the crosswalk helping people cross the road. And so I left my seat, and I went to the back door and opened it and looked out, because I could see the road from there, and I didn't see her there. And so then I was like, well, she's not out there, and I don't want to bother anybody to find her. And then I thought about her again, and I just got completely emotional. I'm like, okay, I need to find her. And so then I go to the other side of the building, which my dad was there, and he's got the walkie-talkie to get everybody, whatever. So I'm like, okay, I might as well use that. And so I come up to him, bawling my eyes, and I'm like, Dad. And he's like, what? You know, and then I was like, can you get Cassie? He's like, yeah, whatever you need. Yeah, and so then he left, and he just told me to wait. And so I kind of stood in the corner of the room, and they were, you know, playing worship or whatever, and I was worshiping, and feeling that sense of overwhelmness from thinking about Cassie. And I could feel God telling me, like, you need to ask her. You need to ask her questions or whatever. And I was, like, in that moment just asking, what do I need to ask her? And then, like, 10 minutes later or so, Cassie comes up to me and, like, puts her arm on my shoulder. And I turn around and I'm bawling. And she's like, what? And I'll have her come up and tell the rest of that. But, yeah. And she came in because there was previously, like, a storm. So she came in, and she was wearing her rain pants, so she, like, was waddling in. You could hear the swish, swish. She's like, and she didn't know what was going on either because she was outside. So.
You know, those rain pants would have come in handy had that storm hit us, but praise Jesus, it split right down the camp, and we got a couple sprinkles, but that storm was supposed to bring hail and everything. It was supposed to be wicked. But so I get in there, as Kaylee's saying, and she is just crying, you know, worshiping, crying, and I put my hand on her, and she hugs me, and she is, after, it seemed like ages of just hugging and crying together, she was like, you know, God wants me to ask you when you got saved. Okay, well, this is easy. I was 8 years old at Camp Shetek, got saved, you know, story goes on, you know. She was like, well, how did it change you, or how did it make you feel? No different than the day before, but, you know, it's okay because I said the words, I did what I was supposed to, you know, I was saved. And so then she asked me, she was like, so when did things actually change for you? When did you feel different? When did it change? So I was thinking about it, and I thought it was maybe about 3 years ago when we first started coming full time, you know, and John gave his life back to the Lord, you know, and the house, everything just seemed different at that point. And so I kind of left it at that, and she was like, well, why did you do it? Well, I'm a Christian, you know, Jesus is the only way. That's the only answer, you know, Jesus is the way. We hugged, we cried some more, and I cried and hugged a lot. And so after that, I headed back out to the crosswalks because I was like, you know, I need to go save lives at the crosswalks. There's nobody out there. The kids were in their little service. The adults were in theirs. And so it was like, there's nobody out there anyways. But as I was walking up to the crosswalk, I just felt pulled back. And I was like, it's okay. I can ignore it. Not a big deal. I'll ignore it and I'll stand here and wait for somebody to come. I didn't stand long. And I was right back in there and I found Kaylee. And I had to apologize to her. I was like, I can't tell you when everything felt different for me. I don't have that moment until tonight. I don't have that moment of when things changed for me. And then we talked and cried and hugged. And she prayed for me. I mean, it was words straight from God. I mean, there's no other words for it. It was... And then I prayed for her, and it was that moment that I finally felt different. I finally felt whole. You know, I was born again, and it was because the Lord used Kaylee Buck to call me out on the fact that I had been living this Christian life, looking and acting like a Christian, but I was missing Jesus. You know, and it was incredible. But the story gets better yet. I don't know if it gets better than that, but as I was walking out of the worship hall then, John, my husband, was just in front of me. And I think I scared him because I'm crying. And I'm like, I think Kaylee Buck just saved my life, you know. And he's like, you know. So then I told him everything that happened. And, of course, then we're both crying. And he prays. And he's like, now you need to go tell everybody. Like, I can't do that because everybody already thinks I'm this good Christian girl. You know, I can't tell people that I really wasn't saved by grace, you know, fully. And so one of the pastors happened to be walking past, Pastor Jason Bridge. He was the leader of our security. So I've spent all week with this man already playing Christian. And John's like, Cassie has something to tell you. I'm like, no, I don't. No. So I tell him what happens, and then John's like, you need to tell more people. So I'm like, okay, I need to find Emily because Emily's one of my closest, dearest friends. I'm like, I need to tell her, especially since it was her amazing daughter that God used. Found her, told her, and then I was like, I have one more person I really need to tell. So I went back into the worship hall, and Pastor happened to be talking to somebody else at the time. So I waited, I came back, and when I came back, Pastor and Emily were standing there together. And I got to tell them thank you for their daughter who listened to the Holy Spirit, who called me out and completely saved my life. It was absolutely incredible. But now Kaylee needs to finish her story.
Yeah, when the first time she came in the room and told me she was saved when she was 8 at camp, like, I could totally relate. Because I was 8 when I first came to that same camp, Fusion Bible Camp, and I formally gave my life to God, but nothing really changed. And so when she came back and she said, like, she's been a Christian, but, like, nothing really changed, she didn't really devote everything, like, I totally related. And so that, so at the same time, same night, we both gave our lives to Christ. Because for me, I've been a Christian all my life. I've got a pastor as a dad. Like, there's no really way out of it, but I don't really have a choice, which is fine. I guess it's a good thing. But but really that night when Garth was encouraging us to minister to people, because that's what we're doing as Christians, like, that's when things were changing, because I've just been holding back, sitting and being a Christian in my little bubble. But that's not going to help anybody else. That's not going to change anyone else's lives. Like, yeah, I'll go to heaven, but what about all these people that I'm just out of my comfort, like, not in my comfort zone? So just that night, just knowing that, like, I've got to stop doing that and go out and minister to people, because that's what was holding me back, just being afraid of telling people about Christ, being up and talking to a bunch of people, and just not being ashamed of that, and just accepting God to fill my cup overflowing. And so, yep, we've got the same birthday, June 10th, 2021.
God is good, amen. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Be led. We mess up. Sometimes we don't hear. Sometimes we don't step out. But you never know if you're the voice that someone needs to hear, because they're not hearing from God, and they need to hear from you. And so we got to step out. We got to be able to share. And it was great. As I shifted this week, I texted Cassie. I'm like, so any chance you'd be maybe willing to share this week? And she responded, if you didn't ask me, I was going to take the microphone from you. And that should be the heart of everyone that has given your heart to Christ, whether you're 8 or 80, is you are so excited and so delighted that you want to share. Now, we're not completely finishing this thought at camp. I'm doing some crocheting here, or knitting. We're going to weave some things together and bring it all together. Hopefully in a nice, clean package at the end. Shifting gears a little bit. So I've been a youth pastor for many years, and started with my first church, and then I was at Victory Church in Wapaka for a number of years. I started working with an organization called YouthWorks. It's a missions organization for mainly junior high and high school. They have family groups as well, but they have mission sites all over, some in Canada, some in Mexico, and all over the United States. And I've been a part of, I believe, 5 different trips. Every couple of years at Victory, we'd have a mission trip where you go to a different site, you show up on a Sunday night, and then Monday and Tuesday you work with a team, some within your church, some with some other churches, and you do, like, kids ministry. They have a VBS program. You're in a park. A lot of the community shows up wherever you're at, and you do some VBS type things. And then you have 2 days of service projects, and you can paint houses or clean or work in soup kitchens or senior homes and things like that. So you kind of get down and dirty and do some work for a couple of days. And then in the evenings, they have excursions and worship and things like that. It's a really well-run organization. And a couple of months ago, I was chatting with Pastor Casey. He was a pastor I worked with. He took over from me at Victory Church. And he was talking about they had another mission trip planned for this summer for their team, but they had some open slots, 7-8 open slots. And I said, hey, before you turn those back to the group, let me know because we might be interested and we might be able to fill those slots. He's like, all right, I'll let you know. He never let me know. Let me know. He never told me. So we're at camp again, and he's bringing it up again. Yeah, I got these open slots. I said, dude, you're supposed to tell me about this. Why, would you be interested? Absolutely, because I had already talked to John about this. So I put John in contact with Casey and Jeremy, the two Victory youth guys. And they started talking the details. And John, just as I was like stirred, like, yeah, we can do this. And then he asked the question, so when is this trip? It's in 2 weeks. And that was a week ago. So the trip is upon us just like that. And so John and I, mainly John's been having a lot of communications. We just have a small group that can go. So he's been talking with some families. And we've got 6 students that are ready to go. John and Sydney are going to be our adults going on this trip. And they leave on Saturday, this coming Saturday in the morning. They get there to Blue Mountain, North Carolina. They get there Sunday night. And then they have the ministry throughout the week, and then they leave Friday and return here Saturday afternoon. There's a couple of students that need to get back to work. And so this is upon us just like that. The overall cost is going to be about $4,500, though if there was something above that, there's some extra things they could do kind of as they travel to different places they haven't been. So we're looking to raise those funds. The church is already, our missions department is already covering a good portion of that. But we want to present it to you, the congregation, that we are in need. When they return, the families will be looking at doing some fundraisers and stuff for anything that we don't raise. We're doing kind of backwards, go on the trip, raise the funds kind of afterwards because it is so kind of last minute. But if you'd like to give, we encourage you to do that. You can mark your giving just a youth mission trip or whatnot, but we're trying to raise funds for that. Or you could tap a kid on the shoulder that might be going and say, hey, I got some work for you, you know. So there's some different things we can do. And so we want to support them, and we also want to bless them before they take off. And we're going to do that. We're going to pray over the students that might be here that will be going on the trip in just a moment. So we hang on to that one. We had one more. Last month, we've been trying to find the right time to do it. There is no perfect date, but we also want to take the opportunity to recognize our seniors, our graduated students that have just graduated from school, and we want to recognize and bless them. I think we have 2 in here right now. You already got recognized, but we can recognize again, Sam, if you would stand up, and along with his brother, Will, and then Eleni, if you'd stand up. Am I missing any other ones here? So these are our seniors. If you would just give them some honor here this morning. I'm going to invite you guys up here. Again, we'll add one more thing, and I'm going to invite any of our youth group. If you guys would come up here, anyone that's in our youth, yeah, Benjamin, that's you again. You get to come up again. But if we bring our youth up here, so about 3 years ago, you heard a little bit from Cassie that about the same time that the Buck family came here, the Robinson family came to Grace Community Church. And I remember, I think it was in October, John, who I didn't really know from anyone, approached me and said, hey, can we do lunch sometime, something I want to talk about? And I said, sure. And, you know, as a pastor, you think of 1,000 different things, why someone would want to talk about something. And I didn't know, and I didn't know, and I didn't know. And I remember going to meet him for lunch, and he was already there. As I moved the chair down and I was about to sit down, I sensed the Holy Spirit say, youth. And so I sat there, and he began to share and just this tug that was in God's heart. And it took him a while, but he eventually got to the point of, I really feel I need to help give some time, and I'd like to help out with the youth ministry. And as soon as he said it, you know, it was just that confirmation. And so that about that time, my wife and I had fired up our youth ministry here again, and John was kind of helping. at the beginning, and then we began to add some other pieces, some other leaders that have been a part of the youth ministry. And for a number of years, after about a year, my wife and I backed out, and it was kind of a team-led thing. Four or five adults that have been kind of running our youth ministry on a weekly basis and taking kids to camp and things like that. But then over time, the team began to rely more and more upon John as kind of the leader. They looked to him for the leadership and the guidance of things. And we want to take the opportunity, because it's the right thing to do, to recognize the calling that is upon John and the heart that God has put in him, because he is our youth leader. And that is worthy of honor that is due. And so I'd like to invite, now we already did this again, and I guess I have some tears already left, but I'd like to invite John and Cassie up here. And our elders, if they would come up here. We just want to pray a blessing. I got to get everything I have here. We want to pray a blessing, and they get a double blessing here today. So if your first blessing, you want to tweak it a little bit, you're welcome to do that. But we want to pray a blessing over him, because John has been doing a tremendous job with just ask our youth. Our youth group has been growing with faces in the community and friends of friends sort of thing. And so we've been blessed by his leadership, and we want to, officially install him as our youth leader for Grace Community Church. And I just want to share a verse, same verse, so you should be able to quote it for me. Isaiah chapter 40. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Any parents in the house? Do you ever get weary or tired? You wish you had wings to keep up with those? Well, try being a volunteer of 20, 30 students and trying to keep up with them on camp or on mission trips. And so if you trust in the Lord, God will renew your strength. And that's what we need to rely upon, and we want for John to be able to rely upon in his ministry. So Pastor Arvid's going to pray, and I invite you to extend your hand this morning as we pray over them.
Father, again, we bring this couple before you, Father, as your servants. And their desire, Father, that you've placed in their heart is towards the youth. So we pray, Father, an anointing upon them, their hearts, their minds, their emotions, to direct and guide the young people of our church. Help them, Father, to be an extension of the hands of the parents. Help them, Father, to be unified in their own hearts and lives, so the example that they bring before the young people and before us, Father, is one of unity and strength and power. And I just give you thanks, Father, that you are so precious and you are working in their lives in a mighty and powerful way. So continue, Father, to anoint them. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
And we're going to turn this around before you guys are seated. If those that are going on the trip, I think we have four at least. You guys want to stay in the middle. Also going is your sister. She's not here. And then Isaiah will be going on the trip. So we're just asking. These are the students that are going on the mission trip. In Sydney, sorry. are going on the trip this next week. And so we've asked for John to kind of pray a blessing, protection upon them as they take off for a mission trip this coming week.
Dear Heavenly Father, we stand here just honored, not worthy of being your hands and feet, but somehow picked. Somehow we're going to pile in a van and drive 17 hours to North Carolina. We ask for your anointing, we ask for your wisdom, we ask for your blessing as we travel, as we minister. Strengthen us, Lord. Because without you, we're nothing. Without you, it's just a trip. Without you, it's just an experience. But with you, we're going to move mountains. With you, we're going to reach the lost.
Yes, Lord.
With you, you're going to change lives.
Yes, Lord.
So please, just please, a special blessing over this group, over this church, Lord, as they send us. Please keep us safe. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. And one final thing. You guys can be seated. And Cassie, if Kaylee, if you guys would stay up here. As I said, we... all these things, I think, as we've mashed it together into our hobo dinner, you're gonna not forget that one. There's one very important thing, most important thing, kind of piece of business that we have to take care of, or at least give opportunity for. And I've asked these two to stay because they had a very special birthday about 11 days ago. And I believe today may be the birthday of someone else. Because maybe, just maybe, you are a Cassie or a Kaylee. You've walked the walk, you've talked the talk, but you have not been born again. You don't feel any different than that day you said, I'll follow. You don't feel changed. You don't feel joy. This lady has a smile on her face all the time, and it's glowing times 10 now because God has amplified the joy in our heart. When you accept Christ, it brings change. And maybe you're sitting there going, I don't know that day. I don't know if I've ever been changed. And on that evening, that night, that Garth was preaching, he said, I want people to come in who are all in. Maybe you're not all in. But today's the day to be all in. And so in a moment, I'm gonna read a verse here. I'm going to pray a blessing, a dismissal. But if you don't know if you're all in, I want to invite you to come forward and just stand before one of these two and just say, I'm all in, and let them pray over you. Because today may be your birthday. First service, we had some birthdays, and it was beautiful. But Romans 10:13 says, I can't read it now. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today's the day to say, I'm all in. And to call upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for testimony, which is powerful. I thank you for hearts that have been stirred and moved. And these two hearts that are before us here. Father, I thank you for opportunities that we have, like camp or mission trips, Lord. I thank you for hearts like John's that says, I want to help out. Lord, use me. So, Father, I thank you for the opportunities. But, Lord, I know there are some here that cannot point to that day or that moment. And maybe as they don't feel any different than they have their entire life. And today is the day to say, I'm all in. So, Father, I'm going to pray a blessing upon everyone here as we go from this place. But Lord, if there's someone here that needs to come forward, a step of faith, a step of boldness, Lord, I pray that today is the day. So be with us this day. And Lord, we pray for heaven's rejoicing. Lord, as hearts are turned to you. We pray this in Jesus' name.